feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
A tremendous Tuesday to each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN's Open Line. Father Wade Menezes is in the house. Well, he's in his house. He's not in our house, but next week he will be in our house. If you'd like to talk to Father Wade about faith, family, and or fellowship today, the number to be on the program is 833-288-EWTN. Phone lines are wide open at 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, faith, family, and fellowship are still important, regardless of where you are, in the eyes of our Lord and Holy Mother Church. You can call us at 1-205-271-2985, and we'll put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. That's openline@ewtn.com. You can text your question to Father Wade. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. And we would love for you to follow us on Twitter. You can do that at EWTN Radio. If you'd like to ask Father Wade a question, use the hashtag OpenLine. There's no excuse. Any myriad of ways that you can get a hold of us today. And we want to hear from you at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm Jack Williams, the lovely and talented Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screeners, Mr. Ryan Penny, and Jeff Burson is back handling our social media endeavors. Not his evil twin Jim Burson, who for some reason was announced as our social media maven by my lovely and talented wife, Johnette Williams, yesterday. I don't know where that came from, but it's Jeff Burson handling our social media endeavors. And our host, as he is every Tuesday, Father Wade Menezes. Father, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jack. Now, we got to give Johnette a break now and again. You know that. Her show is daily. There's a lot of pressure there. So we've got to cut her a little slack.
It's part of her sanctification.
to make a mistake on the airwaves with thousands of people listening.
No, to endure my critique of it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there you have it. If that's the case, you ought to be awfully holy by now. I just tell you that.
There you go. There you
go. So listen, Father Wade,
speaking of holy,
oftentimes there are traps that the evil one will set for all of us. And there are traps also that can be sprung simply by our own concupiscence with no help from the evil one either. And I think one of those traps is to overlook some of the things that we might have the occasion to take for granted. I look at myself as a convert, as an adult convert, and I think most of us who at this stage of our lives, some dozen or so years ago for me now, when we start to make a decision like this to convert, we take it very seriously. We study maybe more than we would have as younger people. And as we get into deeper and deeper concepts, and for myself personally, questions were answered for me along the way. And at some point, I reached a tipping point where I knew that every question I might ever have has not necessarily been answered, but I reached a tipping point where I was supremely confident that Holy Mother Church had an answer for whatever question was going to come along down the way. And that kind of tipped me over the edge. And in those sorts of situations, sometimes the most fundamental aspects of our faith don't get a lot of attention from us intellectually or spend a lot of time meditating on things. So I think sometimes it's really important to go back and really talk about the wheres and whys and whats of some of the more fundamental concepts that we enjoy here in Holy Mother Church. For instance, going to Mass on Sundays and Holy Days.
Yeah, that's right. And the fact that Sundays and Holy Days are obligatory. They are holy days of obligation. Now, we know that specific holy days of obligation that fall during the calendar year other than on a Sunday, we consider those quote-unquote holy days of obligation. For example, December 8th, the Immaculate Conception. But we forget that every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. And I thought this would be a great springboard topic this week, precisely because last week we talked about ordinary time. And so I want to tie the two together. And Sundays are part of the entire liturgical year, not just the two periods of ordinary time. But we need to realize what Sunday worship is all about, and also Sunday rest. I'm going to end by talking about the importance of the church seeing Sunday as a day of rest. So Sundays and holy days require of the Catholic Christian obligatory Mass attendance. Why? Precisely because we love God, not because we fear Him. The Second Vatican Council, Jack, teaches that the sacred liturgy is above all things the worship of the divine majesty, quote unquote. That's from paragraph or section 33 from the document on the liturgy, Sacrosanctum Concilium. God calls us to Himself, and we want to respond to Him calling us with sacred worship. Huh? Apart from illness, for example, the Church teaches that the faithful are obliged to participate in the celebration of the sacred liturgy on all Sundays and holy days of obligation. This is a grave obligation, and to willfully neglect it can cause one to commit mortal sin, precisely because it's considered grave matter in and of itself. And if it's done with fullness of knowledge of this grave matter and done with deliberate consent of the will, then all three elements for a mortal sin to be present are indeed present. Huh? In fact, every Sunday, as I said, is a holy day of obligation. The Code of Canon Law, number 1246, states clearly that Sunday, on which by apostolic tradition the Paschal mystery is celebrated, is to be observed in the universal church as the primary holy day of obligation. Go figure, huh? Sundays are considered the primary holy day of obligation. Other examples of holy days of obligation, apart from Sunday itself, include the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, January 1st, the Assumption of Mary on August 15th, and the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin on December 8th, as I said earlier. While there are other holy days of obligation established throughout the world, such as the Ascension of Our Lord and the Solemnity of Corpus Christi, national bishops' conferences can dispense the faithful from the obligation for a just reason and even transfer a holy day to be observed on a Sunday. As faithful sons and daughters of the Church, then, let us remember, too, that faithfully attending Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation brings with it not only an observance of the third commandment, but also a faithful adherence to a formal precept of the Church that you shall attend Mass on Sundays and on holy days of obligation and rest from servile labor. And the third commandment of the Ten Commandment, of course, is remember to keep holy the Lord's Day. And so we're observing the third commandment of the Ten Commandments and also one of the five precept laws of the Church. And let us remember, too, and this is important, that because we are social and communal creatures by nature, it is important to give social and communal worship to the God who created us. That's very important. We read in Genesis that it is not good that man be alone. Huh? So He created for him a complementary helpmate. Huh? We are social by nature. As human persons, we're made in the image and likeness of God, who is social, three divine persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And also, when the apostles asked Jesus how to pray, Lord, teach us how to pray, He gives them the Our Father, that most perfect prayer in what? In the first person plural. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. So an Old Testament proof, Genesis, and a New Testament proof from the Gospels that we are social creatures by nature. And then something else I want to talk about here is that the Sunday Eucharist is the foundation and confirmation of all Christian practice. We forget that point. And for this reason, the faithful are obliged to participate in the Eucharist on all days that are obligatory, unless excused for a serious reason, for example, illness or the care of infants, the Catechism tells us, or dispensed by their own pastor. Those who deliberately fail in this obligation commit a grave sin, that is a mortal sin, if the other two elements are present. Participation in the communal celebration of the Sunday Eucharist is a testimony of belonging and of being faithful to Christ and to His bride, the Church. The faithful give witness by this, by their communion in faith and charity. Together they testify to God's holiness and their hope of salvation. They strengthen one another under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, precisely by worshiping communally. So I want to invite our Open Line Tuesday listeners today who are listening, who at some point in their life, Jack, were lapsed Catholics, who didn't always fulfill the Sunday obligation for whatever reason, and now are back to practicing the faith regularly. And there's a lot more to practicing the faith well than just Sunday Mass obligation. Common sense tells us that. But Sunday obligation is a big part. Call and give us your witness. And if you want to give a witness question in its fullness, even tell us what caused you to be lapsed and what brought you back.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Get up bright and early. Check out the Sunrise Morning Show every day and tomorrow, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. Good friends at out of Cincinnati produce that program for us, and they do a great job. Annie Mitchell, Matt Swaim, and the whole gang. The Sunrise Morning Show tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time, right here on EWTN Radio. To the phones we go. Our leadoff hitter today is Tina in Medina, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Tina, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great, Tina. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Jack and Father Wade. I have a question, kind of a comment and a question. My daughter is 17, and she has a friend who is also the same age. And her family takes her to Mass once a year. So at one of the Masses, the priest had mentioned that if you know a family member or somebody who doesn't get to go to Mass, invite them. So my daughter decided to ask this girl, and she's been going to Mass with us probably, she's gone the last 4 weeks. And she really enjoys it, and she has a lot of questions. And some of them are on, you know, abortion and marriage. And so we've been sharing what we know about Humani Vitae and Caste Canubi and trying to help her see why abortion is wrong. But she's really open. And my question is, I want to keep her coming back to the Catholic faith. And if Father Wade could recommend maybe a good book for somebody this age that could, you know, help her out.
Yeah, great. How old did you say she is?
She's 17, Father Wade.
She's 17.
She's 17 years old, and she's a lapsed Catholic. She's technically baptized, correct?
Yes, she is.
Great, great. And do her parents support her in her wanting to go back to practicing her faith of baptism?
Well, they do, and they have left it up to her.
Okay, very good, very good. You know, there's a great book by a Steve Weidenkopf called Timeless, A History of the Catholic Church, that is very, very good. I've taken many excerpts of it or from it for various homilies and spiritual conferences that I give, and it gives a beautiful overview of the faith and the teachings of the church fathers, the history of the church throughout the centuries, even up until modern times with the Second Vatican Council. It addresses even corruption in the church and how this is a problem, and how as the bride of Christ, who he himself suffered, his bride will suffer. You know, many popes, for example, Pope Pius IX, even Paul VI intimated it, who's now saint, Pope Paul VI, he said that some of the church's greatest enemies come from within. So it's a no-nonsense approach to studying the faith for what it is. Again, Steve Weidenkopf, Weidenkopf, a History of the Catholic Church, Timeless, or the word timeless is first. There's also, on the person of Christ himself, on Jesus himself, there's a fairly new book that is very good. I have not had a chance to look at it yet, but I've read reviews on it. I'd like to get it for our Fathers of Mercy Library. It's titled The Case for Jesus, The Biblical and Historical Evidence for Christ by Brant Petrie. And in talking about that historical evidence for Christ and that biblical evidence for Christ, Brandt, of course, touches upon the truth that this Christ, this Jesus, established a church that we would know by her four marks, the fact that she is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. So that's a good one that begins on the person of Christ and leads into the beauty of the church and the reality of the church. So those are two good ones that I think a 17-year-old would benefit from greatly. Does that help you out?
It sure does. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for your call today from Medina, Ohio. We appreciate it very much.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Sherry in Toledo, Ohio. You're number one in Ohio today, Father Wade. She's a first-time caller listening on Annunciation Radio. Sherry, what's your question for Father Wade?
Hi, Father Wade. I just had a question regarding your statement earlier about not being able to fulfill the Sunday obligations of going to church on Sunday. And how that can be a grave sin. Now, what is the church's teaching on that for being a healthcare worker, you know, working 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.? Sometimes there's not always mass times available. Or in Northwest Ohio, we have had recent weather where the farmers have not been able to get into the field, and my husband did not make it to church one Sunday because the weather was good, so he was working. Yeah. Now, does the church have any type of teaching on that?
Absolutely, yeah. It's any unnecessary servile work that you don't have to do that does not excuse you from Sunday Mass. But work that you have to do, necessary servile labor, the church does not demand anything from us that we cannot give, and reasonably so. Huh? So number 2184 of the Catechism says, in regards to a day of grace and rest from work, that's the headline there, a day of grace and rest from work, number 2184, just as God rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done, human life has a rhythm of work and rest about it. The institution of the Lord's Day helps everyone enjoy adequate rest and leisure to cultivate their familial, cultural, social, and religious lives, okay? But here's the catch. On Sundays and other holy days of obligation, the faithful are to refrain from engaging in work or activities that, number one, hinder the worship owed to God, number two, that hinder the joy proper to the Lord's Day. Number three, that hinder the performance of the works of mercy, which you're doing through your healthcare work. And number four, which hinder the appropriate relaxation of mind and body. So the church wants us to view Sunday not only as a day of worship, communally and socially, because we're communal and social by nature. The church wants us also to have adequate rest for those very areas, those four that I just named, okay, to fulfill the previous areas of familial, cultural, social, and religious lives. So, as rational human beings who want to worship our God, he gives us 168 hours a week, can we not give him one? We are bound to at least do everything possible to ensure that we've exhausted all means to make it possible for us to go to Mass. For example, is there a Saturday night vigil that you could go to fulfill your Sunday obligation? A second example is this. If you live in a college area town, okay, where there's a college or university, quite often college and university towns have a late Sunday evening Mass. For example, the University of Illinois has one as late as 10 o'clock or 10:30 on Sundays, okay? Could you fulfill your Sunday obligation by going to that because it doesn't interfere with your health care work, okay? So we need to exhaust all means, sincerely so, to be able to fulfill our Sunday obligation. And after you have sincerely sought that and you still cannot fulfill your Sunday obligation, the church's teaching, our Lord, his bride, the church, understands that, okay? And this is where we read and why we read this in number 2183. If because of a lack of a sacred minister or other grave cause, such as work, necessary work, that participation in the celebration of the Eucharist is impossible, it is specially recommended that the faithful take part in the liturgy of the word if it is celebrated in the parish church or in another sacred place according to the prescriptions of the diocesan bishop, or engage in prayer for an appropriate amount of time personally or as in a family, as the occasion offers in groups or in groups of families. So you're still bound to read the readings of that particular Sunday or that particular holy day of obligation that fell on a weekday. This is why some of the daily readers are so good to subscribe to, like Magnificat or One Bread, One Body or The Word Among Us. Because even if you miss that obligatory Mass, and remember it's obligatory because we love God, not because we fear Him. If you miss your obligatory Mass, you have the readings there in front of you that you are still held bound to read. It's also easy enough to go to your smartphone or your computer to look up the readings of that particular Sunday or that particular holy day that fell on a weekday and read the readings on screen. But it is still nice to have a devotional subscription, I think, to one of those daily readers. So there's a hierarchy of things that we need to exhaust to try to fulfill our Sunday obligation. Have you talked to your boss, for example, about the need to have Saturday evenings off to go to the vigil, or at least some hours on Sunday off to be able to fulfill your Sunday obligation? For example, what's the earliest Mass that your parish offers? I've preached parish missions, week-long parish missions at parishes where I was the visiting missionary preacher for the week, and on Sundays they have a 6 a.m. Mass that a lot of the elderly go to. And it's a very, it's a Missa Simplex, a simple Mass with no singing, no choir, for the sake of the elderly. And it's a 6 a.m. or 6:30 a.m. Mass. Have you exhausted that means? So have you taken the steps necessary to try to fulfill your Sunday obligation? I want to urge you to read Numbers 2180 through 2185 of the Catechism. This is a beautiful short section on what our requirements are to fulfill our Sunday obligation. And then if all those have been sincerely sought and you're still not able to fulfill, there's no sin on your part. In fact, goodwill shows on your part because you took the steps necessary to actually try to attend Mass. And if you're not able to, then you're still bound to read the readings. One last point. Now, this is me, Father Wade Menezes. This isn't church teaching what I'm about to say. I like to recommend that in addition to what the church requires if you miss a Sunday obligation or a holy day of obligation, especially the Sunday, if you miss it, you're not able to go, and you read the readings. We know the church requires that. You're still bound to read the readings. Try to go to Mass one day that forthcoming week. Why? Because the Gospels of that forthcoming week will revolve around the Gospel theme of the Sunday. So, for example, we just celebrated the 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So now we've entered into the 14th week of Ordinary Time, which the 14th Sunday kicked off, to use a football metaphor. So today's Mass, was for St. Augustine Zao and his companions, martyrs, but yesterday was a day that wasn't a saint's day. It's called a ferial day. It was Monday of the 14th week of Ordinary Time. So the Gospel had a tie-in with Sunday's Gospel. So try to fulfill a Mass, if you can. This isn't required. This is just me recommending it. Try to go to Mass one day that forthcoming week that's within the same numbered week as that Ordinary Time Mass on Sunday that you missed. Does that help you out?
It does. And can I just ask one quick little question? Sometimes we have chaplains and other Catholic lay people that come around with communion on Sundays and certain holy days of obligation. Is it okay to participate in that even if you have exhausted all the means to get to Mass and you still haven't been able to? Is it okay to receive communion in that blessing?
Yes, because you can receive communion twice in one day, provided the second time is a full Mass. And since this would be your only communion that day, it doesn't have to be a full Mass. It's a communion service. So yes, you could. In fact, you would be encouraged to, provided you're in a state of grace, meaning that you're not knowledgeable of any mortal sin on your soul. You would want to receive communion on that holy day of obligation.
God bless you,
and remember,
Sherry,
to read the readings.
Thank you so much for that phone call. The number again is 833-288-EWTN. One line open at 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, we'd love to hear from you. Your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. Straight ahead, we'll talk to Tom, Carmen, Peg, Terry, and hopefully we'll talk to you. 833-288-EWTN. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade. EWTN is our toll-free number. 833-288-3986. Next up is Tom in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130, a first-time caller. Tom, thanks for holding. What's your question or comment today for Father Wade?
Hello, Father Wade. I don't have a question, but I heard you ask if to hear possibly hear from some people that have been away from the faith for quite a while and came back, and I thought I'd just tell my story real quick.
Great, Tom. Thank you so much for your call.
Of course. Yeah, so I was fortunately born into a family with two very loving, devout Catholic parents, and was baptized, First Holy Communion, went to Catholic school, and was confirmed. And by the time I was really, a teenager, I started falling away from the faith, influenced by friends and some of my siblings. And I stopped going to church by the time I was 18. And really from about 18 to 50 years old, I didn't really go to church much. I mean, I was a C and E going at, Christmas and Easter, and but I stopped going to church and fell into a lifestyle of alcohol and drugs and temptations of the flesh and all of that. I got married when I was 27. Me and my wife have three kids. My wife was not Catholic, but she became Catholic due to my mom's influence. But again, she kind of would go through waves where she'd go to church and then fall away and so forth. And then by the time I was in my late 40s, me and my wife had a lot of ups and downs, and we were having a really tough time with our marriage and getting to the point where we were about ready to get a divorce. And I didn't know what else to do, and just out of desperation, I started going back to church. And at first, I did it just for that reason, but of course, I fell in love with Jesus Christ, and it had a huge impact on my life, my happiness. I'm a fourth-degree Knight of Columbus now, and me and my wife's marriage has never, ever been better, so... the Lord is
great,
truly blessed.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Is she back to practicing the faith on a regular basis as well, along with you?
She is, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yep. And the other thing I would say is I always kind of, going to church for me, especially as a kid, and even the times that I would go when I was away, was just almost a chore, and I almost dreaded it. And I've gotten to that point in my life where I get so much out of the Mass, and especially the Holy Eucharist, just charges me up for the week that I am excited to go, and I would not miss it for the world.
You know, the Holy Eucharist gives us the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ to sustain us in our vocation and state in life, whatever that is. In your case, Tom, as a married man. And it's important to give worship to God, to receive the Eucharist. It's one of the two sustaining sacraments out of the seven, huh? Along with confession. If you stop and think about it, all seven sacraments, only two can be received both repetitiously and frequently, daily if you want them, and that's Eucharist and confession. The other five sacraments cannot be received with a lot of frequency, and surely not daily. Why is that? Well, it's because Eucharist and reconciliation are the two sustaining sacraments that sustain us in our vocation and state in life. So I'm so glad to hear that you and your wife not only are back to practicing regularly and fulfilling your wonderful Sunday obligation out of love of God, not out of fear of Him, but at the same time, you have gotten back on track with your marriage. And no doubt the graces from the Eucharist have fed the graces that you hold from the sacrament of matrimony, from that day that you and your wife received it however many years ago. And so that's a very important witness, and it's because of the, at least in part, because of the graces received from a worthy, reverent, holy reception of the Eucharist, from the sacrament of the Eucharist, that your sacrament of matrimony is fed. You know, I remember meeting a young man one time. He was in his early to mid-30s, and he asked me to pray for him because he was on his way to getting a divorce. And I says, well, I certainly will. And he says, and pray for her as well. I said, I certainly will. And I asked him the very next question. I says, when was the last time you went to confession? And he looked at me like I was crazy. Well, like, I'm asking you to pray for my marriage that's failing. Why are you asking me when my last time was that I went to confession? And I told him, I says, the last time you went to confession has everything to do with your marriage failing or not failing. He says, well, Father, it's been about 6 or 7 years. I says, the last time you went to confession was when you got married? And yet you want God to support your marriage? Do you go to Mass regularly? No, not regularly, not every Sunday. So we want God to do all this work in our lives, and yet we're not willing to do our part. Remember what Augustine says, without God I can't, but without me God won't. And St. Catherine of Siena says, the God who made you without your cooperation will not save you without your cooperation. You know, so Tom, thank you for a great, great witness. You started doing your part, your wife started doing her part, and the two of you got back on track. So thank you so much for a great witness. We really appreciate it from Seattle, Washington.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next up is Terry in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening on Christ Our King Radio. Terry, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, thank you. I just had a witness.
Go right ahead.
Oh, great.
Okay. Well, it's kind of like the previous caller. I was a cradle Catholic, and I ended up getting away from the church, you know, right after I got married, which I got married young at 18. And I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, okay. Go right ahead.
When we had kids, we ended up going to church just as an example for them. And it didn't mean anything to us, really. But years later, like in 2011, I made my Curcio, and then I made a Life in the Spirit seminar. And recently, I made an Acts retreat. And ever since then, I have just been on fire for the Catholic faith, and I've realized how much I took it for granted all these years, and I just can't get enough of scripture and daily prayer and daily mass. I try to go daily, and I do so much service for my church now. I can't get enough of volunteering. I do everything that I possibly can. I think my priest kind of frowns on my enthusiasm sometimes because I'm so on fire. And so that's just my testimony. And
well, Terry, thank you so much. I'm familiar, very familiar with those two programs that you mentioned, Curcio and Life in the Spirit Seminar. I'm very familiar with those two programs. They're great programs. I haven't heard of ACTS, although I might have heard about it. Does that stand for Adoration, Contrition, Thanksgiving, and Supplication? What does the acronym ACTS stand for? Do you know offhand?
It stands for it's Adoration, Community, Theology,
okay,
and Service.
Okay,
yeah,
wonderful,
and,
wonderful.
I'll
have to find out more about ACTS.
Yeah, I believe I believe it started like in the San Antonio area of Texas, and it's kind of spreading east and southeast, something like that. But it's a real good weekend retreat, and it's it helps to bring together the community in your parish.
Great, wonderful. Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. What a great acronym. Terry, thank you so much for your call from Lafayette, where the Fathers of Mercy have preached a lot of parish missions over the years there in the diocese. So thank you so much for your call. We greatly appreciate it.
God bless you, Terry. We do appreciate that phone call. You know, it's interesting, Father Wade, because we'll oftentimes, you know, she talked about going to church just to set an example for her children, and the next thing you know, she makes a couple retreats and she's on fire. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, even when our Lord gives us the prescription, you know, we'll have the prescription filled and we'll set it on the counter and we won't take the pills. And then, you know, 6 months down the road, we'll curse the pills because we don't feel any better and we haven't taken any.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, we need to do our part. I can't stress that enough. You know, as intellectual, rational creatures with the ability to love, with the ability to serve, with the ability to worship rationally, we need to do our part when it comes to living our faith in the midst of the modern world. And the bulwark of that, the spearhead of that, should be our Sunday worship, our Sunday obligatory worship.
Next up is Peg in Jackson, Michigan, listening on Good Shepherd Radio. Peg, you're on with Father Wade.
Hi, Father Wade. Good afternoon. I enjoy the program very much. I get up to date on things that I've kind of forgotten about. I'm a cradle Catholic, and I was listening to as you were talking about the days of obligation, and you mentioned Corpus Christi, which I didn't realize was one, but you didn't mention All Saints Day, November 1st. I was just wondering if the church has changed, you know, and brought one in and dropped the other, or what's the latest
no.
on that?
No, not at all, not at all. I just, in the essence of time, I can't list all the holy days of obligation that aren't Sundays. So, no, ordinarily speaking, All Saints Day, November 1st of each year, is a holy day of obligation. All Souls Day, November 2nd, is not. That said, remember what I said in the opening springboard topic, that bishops' conferences can dispense from the obligation and or incorporate it into the Sunday worship. So if November 1st falls on a Sunday, the bishops can move All Saints Day to be on November 3rd, following All Souls Day, if November 1st is a Sunday, or they can just not do that and just say that the Sunday itself suffices as the worship for All Saints, and maybe even bump the ordinary time of Sunday to celebrate All Saints. It's whatever the conference deems important for that particular region. So there's the authority to do that. But ordinarily speaking, generally speaking, yes, November 1st, All Saints Day, is indeed a holy day of obligation. By the way, the communion of saints, the three states of the church, the three-tiered hierarchy of the doctrine of the church militant, those of us still living on earth, the church triumphant, those who have already made it to heaven, and the church suffering, the holy souls in purgatory who are assured heaven. It's one of my favorite sections in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It begins with paragraph number 946 and goes through 962. 946 through 962, not that long of a section at all, that talks about the three states of the church. And the three-tiered hierarchy together we call collectively the doctrine of the communion of saints. Again, the church triumphant in heaven, the church militant still living on earth, and the church suffering, the holy souls in purgatory who are assured heaven. So, beautiful section to read if you have an interest in that particular doctrine of the church. So thank you so much, Peg, for your call from Jackson, Michigan. We greatly appreciate it.
Next stop is El Reno, Oklahoma, where Carmen is listening on Oklahoma Catholic Radio, a first-time caller. Carmen, you're on with Father Wade.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. My question, well, question, comment, situation, whatever you might want to call it, is our local priest, we're a small parish here, is going to be gone for about the next 3-4 weeks, and he has tried desperately to try to find another pastor to come in, another priest to come in on Sundays in order to have Mass, but he had told us last Sunday that he was unable to find anyone for this coming Sunday, but he was going to have the deacon do a communion service, which I know is fine. But he said, he also made the comment, he said, but you are dispensed from the obligation of having Sunday Mass. So some of us, we've decided, well, we're going to go to a neighboring parish instead. But and then I was reading there in the catechism also, like you said, paragraph number 2181, that the reasons, the serious reasons for being exempted from Mass would be like illness or care of a child or an elderly person or something like. And so I guess my question is the fact that we don't have a priest that he can get to come, that's a pretty serious reason, right?
That absolutely, absolutely. And he's taken it upon himself because he cannot find a replacement or a fill-in for him to have a communion service, which would include the liturgy of the word, followed by distribution of Holy Communion. And he may seek out a permanent deacon to do that for him, either one in his own parish or a permanent deacon in another area. If he can't find a deacon to do it, he can properly depute a layperson to conduct the communion service, which again includes the liturgy of the word and also the distribution of Holy Communion. So a layperson for a time can be properly deputed to carry out that service on behalf of the pastor. And the pastor, of course, would train the layperson to do that. Yeah, it's number 2183, actually. If because of lack of a sacred minister or for other grave cause, participation in the celebration of the Eucharist is simply impossible, it is specially recommended that the faithful take part in the liturgy of the word if it is celebrated in the parish church or in another sacred place according to the prescriptions of the diocesan bishop, or engage in prayer for an appropriate amount of time personally or as in a family, or as occasion offers, in groups of families coming together to pray, and also for a communion service, okay, which is what your pastor wants to set up. So you have the choice of going to the communion service. You have the choice, as you said, of going to an area parish to attend Mass, your choice. But I commend your pastor on wanting to make sure that his flock does have something offered to them that day, and simply not say, the church doors are going to be locked, you have to find an area parish to go to. No, he's going to also take it upon himself to properly depute someone to carry out the communion service. So thank you so much for your call. We greatly appreciate it.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Be sure to check out EWTN Radio Classics. It's our teachings and devotional channel, 24 hours a day, 7 day a week of programming. You can hear the Holy Rosary, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, lots of Mother Angelica, conference talks from some of your favorite Catholic personalities. You can find it all either on the EWTN app or at EWTNradio.net. Back to the phones we go. Gabriel is also in Seattle, Washington, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Gabriel, thanks for holding. You're on with Father Wade.
Hello.
Hi, Gabriel.
Hey,
what's
Gabriel,
your
how you doing?
Today?
Thanks for your call.
Hey, I'm great. I have my headphones in. Can you hear me well?
I hear you just fine. Go right ahead.
Excellent. So I wanted to, I'm responding to Father Wade. You mentioned earlier about if anyone had kind of fallen away from the faith, to call in and tell a bit of a story. So that's what I'm doing. And so I'm not, there's never a time really that I was a fallen away Catholic, but there was part of time when I was not a Christian at all. And so I wanted to mention that aspect and how it relates to Sunday worship, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
So, okay, awesome. Yeah, so growing up, I was in a completely a-religious home. We had been to church maybe twice, random times. There was no father in the picture, and my mother was alcoholic, had an opiate problem on and off. But when I was 16, I moved out, and I moved in with a Christian family. They invited me to live with them, and they said, hey, Gabriel, our only expectation for you is to be part of our family and come to church with us on Sundays. And so I said, okay, sure, you know, I was open to it. And I started to go to church with them on Sundays. And that was the first time that I heard the story of Jesus. And and I discovered, like, in a way, I was like I was living in Plato's cave. It's like my whole life previously was like this great illusion where everything was just not fully as it was meant to be. But when I came to faith shortly thereafter that I moved in with them, it was like when Paul mentions in Colossians being transferred from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. Like, I discovered Jesus and I discovered the church and I discovered meaning and purpose and value and everything to the world. And I started to go to church on Sundays. I was attending a Presbyterian church and shortly thereafter felt called to become a pastor. So I was studying to be a Presbyterian pastor through college, in the seminary and grad school. And I then, while in grad school, started studying the church fathers. And I discovered a perpetual adoration chapel. And I discovered St. Louis de Montfort and total consecration to Mary. So I gave my life to the Lord through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And over a few years, things worked out for me to come into communion with the Catholic Church in 2014. I'm 35 now. And since then, for the 15 years or so while I was Presbyterian in the Protestant Church, I never really felt at home. So I could miss church on Sunday, and it wasn't really that big of a deal. It was kind of like, well, you should be a bedside Baptist, was the kind of cliche. If I can't make it to church on Sunday, at least I can say my prayers at home. But since becoming Catholic, it's been, not only has the church said I'm obligated to attend the liturgy on Sunday, but it's also become a home. And it's, I found, like you said, the social communal aspect. It's been the most fruitful thing.
Amen. You know, the church, the bride of Christ, through her bridegroom, holds us to a standard, huh? Holds us to a standard. That's how I like to look at the quote-unquote obligatory worship that we're bound to, huh? God created us. Can we not give him thanks in return, huh? But your story is similar, Gabriel, to so many I've heard over the years on how the church fathers especially and the early writings of the church fathers, especially the earlier ones. We talk about the patristic age or the age of the fathers. We talk roughly the first 7 to 8 centuries, but the earlier ones, like the first through fourth centuries, John Chrysostom, Ambrose, Augustine, had so much to do with bringing non-Catholics into the faith, whether and even non-Christians into the faith, let alone Protestant Christians into the faith. So what a great witness. And then you, that was coupled for you personally by Eucharistic adoration and then reading St. Louis de Montfort's A Total Consecration to Mary. So what a great witness, Gabriel. Thank you so much for your call from Seattle. I think you're the second call today from Seattle, Washington. Great to have you on the show today, and thank you for such a great, great witness. We really appreciate it.
Next up, Pinckneyville, Illinois. Shirley is in Illinois. First-time caller listening to EWTN Radio. Shirley, you're on with Father Wade.
Yes, Father Wade. Thank you for taking my call. I have a nephew. I am his godmother, and he's gay, and he says that he's going to get married sometime. And he's called me twice, wanting me to come to the wedding, and I don't think I can. I just don't feel right.
Yeah, yeah. Your conscience is talking to you, huh? You know, with any wedding situation of a loved one, or which could also be a friend, let alone a relative, we want to ask ourselves this question: at the end of the day, when they get into bed, at the end of their wedding day, will it be pleasing to God? So I'm not singling out gays or lesbians here. I'm not singling heterosexuals out here. I'm talking about anyone. Is it going to be pleasing to God? Will the proper canonical form for a baptized Catholic be present? Yes or no? And if the answer is no, you cannot in good conscience go. But here's what you can do, Shirley. Number one, you never ever amputate a relationship with a loved one. He's your godson, for crying out loud. You want to keep communication open with him. You love him. You want to be there for him. I would offer to have a conversation with him face-to-face, or if he lives outside the area, you two don't live by each other, then write him a simple letter while you're not able to go, not preaching, but simply laying out the teachings of the church and that you are there for him if he ever wants to come back to the faith and receive the Eucharist and to enter into a state of sanctifying grace and receive the Eucharist and go back to the sacraments and to live his life fully as God wills for him, to help put himself in the path of salvation to one day attain the beatific vision. Huh? I would be saying the same exact message to even heterosexuals who are getting married outside the church when they're held to the proper canonical form. Huh? Is it going to be pleasing to God at the end of that day? Huh? Is it yes or no? That's the question. You never want to amputate. You want to keep the communication open. And he might give you a line like this: well, then you don't love me. You don't love me because you don't want to go to my wedding. Just simply respond, you know, there are so many ways that I can show you that I love you as your godmother and as your aunt. That's if you're his aunt. I don't know if you are or not. But there are so many ways that I can show you that I love you, nephew, that I find you saying that the only way I can do it is by going to your wedding. I find that kind of insulting, to be quite honest with you. And so there's many, many ways I can show you that I love you. Number one, for wanting you to start receiving the Eucharist again worthily, huh? So there's got to be dialogue. There's got to be reasonable, sensible dialogue. And remember, with a heterosexual wedding that's outside the church, at least there's one hope one day of what canon law calls regularizing the marriage, regularization of the marriage. They can have the marriage regularized in the church and become sacramental. A gay marriage has no hope of ever being regularized.
So that's an added reason why you wouldn't be permitted to celebrate that event. Thank you, Shirley, for your call from Pinckneyville, Illinois. I hope I said that right.
Pinckneyville.
Okay.
Father, would you leave us with a blessing?
I certainly will, Jack. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with you all this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our host, Father Waze Menezes, our producer, Mr. Michael McCall, our call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Fasten your seatbelt. Father Mitch tomorrow. Until then, God bless.